Listening Library proudly presents Charlotte's Web by E.B. White. Narrated by Meryl Streep with a full cast. With an appreciation written and read by Melissa Sweet.
This is Melissa Sweet, the author and illustrator of Some Writer, The Story of E.B. White, and the cover illustrator of this full-cast edition of Charlotte's Web. I fell in love with Charlotte's Web when I began researching for a biography of E.B. White. I'm sure I had read this book as a child, but I only recalled the famous first line, "Where's Papa going with that axe?" In preparing to write Some Writer and learning as much as possible about E.B. White, I read everything he wrote. There were so many questions to answer. Where did he come up with the ideas for his stories? Was the story of Charlotte's Web from his life, or his imagination, or both? When I wasn't reading, I was listening to the original, author-narrated audio versions of White's three children's books, especially the Charlotte's Web audiobook, over and over again. Even after I knew Charlotte's Web well, I looked forward to the conversations between the animals, the descriptions of the barnyard and landscape, and hearing my favorite passages come around again. And though I knew what would happen at every turn, each time I heard the ending, I thought my heart would break. E.B. White was born Elwin Brooks White in 1899 in Mount Vernon, New York. He was the youngest of six children, growing up in a big sprawling house with a barn. He loved tending animals, dogs, ducks, chickens, pigeons, and pollywogs, and spending summers in Maine. As a boy, he was busy writing poems, stories, and letters to his brothers and sisters. Long after he became a writer, signing his work E.B. White, he and his wife bought a farm in Maine. He later wrote, "When I got a place in the country, I was quite sure animals would appear, and they did." Soon, White introduced sheep, geese, chickens, and a pig to the barn. He said the rat and spider moved in on their own. As on many farms, the White family raised animals for food. One day, the pig did not appear for supper. White knew that if a pig, or any animal, refused to eat a meal, something was wrong. Indeed, the pig was sick. White called a vet and gave the pig medicine, but a few days later, the pig died. The death was part of life on a farm, and White had done all he could to save the pig. It affected him deeply to see the pig suffer. After burying the pig, he vowed to find a way to save another pig's life. Not long after, he was doing chores and saw a spider spinning an egg sack in the doorway of his barn. He put the egg sack in a box with holes in it, and within weeks watched as hundreds of baby spiders were born. Then one day, as White was bringing a pail of slops out to the barn, he had an idea. He wanted to write a story about animals, and he needed to find a way to save a pig's life. Could a spider save a pig's life? He asked his editor, "Has a spider ever been a main character in a children's book?" "Not that she knew of," she said. "Not since Miss Muffet." White wrote, "I conceived the idea for the story, and by that time I was well acquainted with the principal characters." Before attempting the book, however, he spent a year studying spiders. "In this," he said, "I found the key to the story. I watched Charlotte at work, here on my place, and I also read books about the life of spiders, to inform myself about their habits, their capabilities, their temperament." He learned Charlotte's scientific name was Urania cavatica, a common gray barn spider found all over New England. For the next 2 years, he wrote at least seven drafts of Charlotte's Web, but he wasn't satisfied. He set the story aside for another year to let it ripen, he said. He then rewrote it, introducing Fern and other characters. It was a year well spent. White once said, "I would rather wait a year than publish a bad children's book, as I have too much respect for children." After the book was published, writer Eudora Welty described the story. What the book is about is friendship on earth, affection and protection, adventure and miracle, life and death, trust and treachery, pleasure and pain, and the passing of time. What it all proves is that human beings must always be on the lookout for the presence of wonder. As a piece of work, it is just about perfect. White once said, "I am a word man, and I attach the very highest importance to words." He chose his words carefully, not just for their meaning, but for their sound. That may be one reason why Charlotte's Web is so memorable. Listening to White's writing is akin to listening to a piece of music that moves us. We hear something new each time. White wrote that Charlotte's Web was a hymn to the barn. As Charlotte says to Wilbur, "The leaves will shake from the trees and fall. Christmas will come, then the snows of winter. You will live to enjoy the beauty of the frozen world. Winter will pass, the days will lengthen, the ice will melt in the pasture pond. The song sparrow will return and sing, the frogs will awake, the warm wind will blow again. All these sights and sounds and smells will be yours to enjoy, Wilbur. This lovely world, these precious days." Indeed, this is the gift of Charlotte's Web, that we can count on the cycle of life and that this astonishing world is ours to love. This new recording features Academy Award-winning actress Meryl Streep, the first person to headline the Charlotte's Web audiobook narration since E.B. White stepped into the recording studio 50 years ago in 1970. White created a voice for each character, but for this edition, we've used more than 30 narrators to depict the farm animals and humans of Charlotte's Web. I based the art for this audiobook cover on White's farm on the coast of Maine. The scene illustrates the quintessential moment when Wilbur first meets Charlotte, the beginning of their friendship. White was once asked what he was trying to say in his books. He wrote, "All that I hope to say in books, all that I ever hope to say, is that I love the world. It's all there if you dig around." Happy listening.
Charlotte's Web. Chapter 1. Before Breakfast.
"Where's Papa going with that axe?"
said Fern to her mother as they were setting the table for breakfast.
"Out to the hog house,"
replied Mrs. Arable.
"Some pigs were born last night."
"I don't see why he needs an axe,"
continued Fern, who was only 8.
"Well,"
said her mother,
"one of the pigs is a runt. It's very small and weak, and it will never amount to anything. So your father has decided to do away with it."
"Do away with it?"
shrieked Fern.
"You mean kill it? Just because it's smaller than the others?"
Mrs. Arable put a pitcher of cream on the table.
"Don't yell, Fern,"
she said.
"Your father is right. The pig would probably die anyway."
Fern pushed a chair out of the way and ran outdoors. The grass was wet, and the earth smelled of springtime. Fern's sneakers were sopping by the time she caught up with her father.
"Please don't kill it,"
she sobbed.
"It's unfair."
Mr. Arable stopped walking.
"Fern,"
he said gently,
"you will have to learn to control yourself."
"Control myself?"
yelled Fern.
"This is a matter of life and death, and you talk about controlling myself."
Tears ran down her cheeks, and she took hold of the axe and tried to pull it out of her father's hand.
"Fern,"
said Mr. Arable,
"I know more about raising a litter of pigs than you do. A weakling makes trouble. Now run along."
"But it's unfair,"
cried Fern.
"The pig couldn't help being born small, could it? If I had been very small at birth, would you have killed me?"
Mr. Arable smiled.
"Certainly not,"
he said, looking down at his daughter with love.
"But this is different. A little girl is one thing. A little runty pig is another."
"I see no difference,"
replied Fern, still hanging on to the axe.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?